Van's here today, and he wants to share something. And Omak, I'm going to have you come over here.
I'm not a public speaker. This is not easy for me. It's easy for me to tell this story to one person, three or four people, but I pray for the Holy Spirit to help me again here. Most of you know my son, our son, Daniel, died a little over 3 years ago. He had bad drug problems for about 30 years. He was about 40, he was 43 plus when he died. A lot of you have had contact with people with drug problems. You know what they go through. He'd been to rehab, et cetera, and so on and so forth during 30 years. When he had a good job, he would work at it. That was a blessing. He was a good worker. But I believe the diagnosis became paranoid, and no doubt because the drugs damaged his brain. He got medication that got him through it. The last siege, he was covering light bulbs. He was covering various things in our house. He was living in our basement at the time. Because to his mind, and we ultimately found he had gone off his medication, but he felt people who were enemies were observing him, observing us, were actually talking to him. So the Des Moines Police Department was very helpful to us, as helpful as they could be, but they couldn't force him to go to any hospital. Ultimately, on a Sunday morning, he was ready to go to Broadlawns, where he was getting the medication from, getting the treatment from. So I took him there, and we were there for, way over an hour. First, he was examined by a fellow by himself. Then I was called in, and the examining person said he conferred with a psychiatrist, and he didn't need to be kept there. So we were going back out, getting into the car, and Dan says, "Let's go to church." My heart was, my heart leapt. It was about 10:30 at that time, and I thought he'll just want to go home and settle down, and he had claimed he was back on his medication. I don't know for sure. We watched him, but they have ways to hide that, whether they're taking it or not. And we came to church. Some of you observed, we sat back there. Pastor was here. They were still singing the hymns. He came up, visited with the pastor. I'm sure they prayed during that time, and I was getting happier. Then Monday came, and I was going to the grocery store for just a few things, and I asked Dan, "Want to ride along?" And he just, not mean, but just firmly said, "No." So I went to the grocery store, came back, glanced through the glass window of the door that connects the garage to our house, and I saw legs laying there. Then I saw the stock of a rifle, and I thought, is he out there with a rifle to protect us? I opened the door, and then I see the pool of blood and various liquid by his head. Rush inside, call 911, tell my wife. She had been in the far bedroom, which our house isn't that big, but she'd been in the far bedroom apparently when the gun went off. And some, I forget the exact details, but word got to these folks here, both our pastors. They came with a friend. I think Tim Rooker was with them or came soon after. Well, in the meantime, I had been out there pumping on his chest, even though I knew there was no hope, and then the ambulance people arrived. I went inside to be with my wife, and these folks began showing up and helping us through this. And the Holy Spirit, I mean, I'm pumping on my dead son's chest, and I The Holy Spirit got me through that. There's no other explanation. And I remember thinking through funeral planning, etc., oh, how sorry I would be for people that don't know Jesus. We have this hope. And I remember thinking, too, of the thief on the cross. Our son had been in prison, prison too, and jails for drug usage. And the thief on the cross, Jesus tells him, today you'll be with me in paradise. I think our son really came to Jesus. He'd had religious training and contact off and on, you know, but because of the drug involvement, but pretty much all his life. So that was a great feeling, the Holy Spirit. And there's another point in there with the Holy Spirit that I'm trying to recall. I should have written down notes for this, but I didn't. The Spirit moves you. I know there's something there in the middle, but anyway, we took our ashes along when we visited his grandmother, who was by that time, I think, 96 in northern Arkansas. She'd been in a convalescent home for some years. And to my wife and myself, it seems a good thing that she was in the stages of Alzheimer's. She and our son had a close relationship, but she didn't ask, where is he? Of course, we would have probably just said, he didn't come this time or something like that. But she didn't even ask for some reason, which probably, again, is the Holy Spirit. But we had his ashes with him. We had always stopped either one way or the other way at this very nice little park with a spring-fed stream going through it. In the very southern edge of Missouri. And we thought, this is the place where Dan's ashes should be. Going down, we went down. It was a Sunday afternoon. It was nice weather. Place was crowded. So we decided this is not the time. When we were planning to come back, the forecast wasn't good. It was for showers and rain and thunderstorms, not heavy, but not good weather. Then that morning we get up to start a trip back and look out the motel room window, and hey, it's sunny there in the mountains northern Arkansas. This might turn out to be okay, which it did. We get to the park, beautiful day. No one there, which was often what we saw during weekdays. So we find this beautiful spot right under a nice tree to scatter his ashes, and I'm doing it. My wife, who has terrible knee problems, was out leaning on the car watching me do this. And I got to believe, again, the Holy Spirit, this butterfly comes and flutters around, sits in the tree limb low above where I've just scattered his ashes, actually goes down to the ashes, up again, won't leave. And my wife was standing there leaning on the car, you know, kind of mixed tears of joy. And, well, this is all that's left of the earthly part of Dan, but the Holy Spirit is doing stuff here. This butterfly, we had to leave with the butterfly over Dan's ashes. And another thing comes to mind. I was listening to a talk show, and a fellow came on, a caller. He said his son had died, this son of an illness, and he said, I'm a heavy equipment operator. A few days after the funeral and all, I'm operating heavy equipment. Didn't say whether it was a bulldozer or what, but heavy equipment. This butterfly comes in to my cab. Someone who's a non-believer may say, putting all this in a butterfly and connecting the Holy Spirit, that's silly. But boy, I don't think so. Thank you, and I would be so happy. I'm going to give you my telephone number just in case any of you want to give me a call and hear this again or want me to repeat it to someone else. I would be so happy to repeat this to anyone. Phone number, 515, of course, 277-7171, 277-7171. That's the one. I have a cell phone, too, but it's not on all the time. Doesn't have the voicemail. That phone does, so you can leave a message. But it's the Holy Spirit. Thank God.
Amen. God bless. Thank you. It came back to you.
This is the third one. I had no nightmares, and my wife doesn't tell me she's had any nightmares about the loss of our son either. But I had one dream that, and it's so short, I was standing outside my old rural schoolhouse, and I was looking in the windows, which wouldn't have been possible because the windows were way up off the ground. But I'm standing outside looking in these windows, and there's Dan. And he's not looking right at me at the start, but he looks at me, and he begins a little smile, and he points toward where I know the doors entering the schoolhouse are. And I'm about to start that way to go in with him, and he holds up his hand this way. And the dream ends. Got to be the Holy Spirit again saying, come in, but in a little while.
Not yet.
We'll be together.
Amen.